This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Vera Tarman, addiction specialist and medical director of Renaissance, an inpatient drug and alcohol treatment center in Canada, as well as the author of Food Junkies, The Truth About Food Addiction. Dr. Tarman, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
That's great. I'm happy to be here.
Most certainly looking forward to hearing from you and learning a few things from you as well. So for starters, is food really addictive?
Well, when we talk about food addiction, it's a generic term, and a lot of people get upset. They don't really like that because it's so broad. Usually we start by meaning sugar addiction, and then because flour is quickly turned or metabolized into sugar, it often means also all flour products like muffins and bread and pasta and stuff like that. But really it's the simple carbohydrates that we usually mean when we say food addiction. And is it really addictive? Yes, we're finding that there's research out more and more, as we speak, showing how sugar is actually, it triggers the same addiction pathways as other drugs like cocaine and alcohol and nicotine.
Certainly some eye-opening information there, and thanks for sharing that. Now, tell us what foods or specific foods are addictive.
In a general way, a very simple way to see it is that pretty much any processed food has been engineered to be, they wouldn't say addictive, but compelling. So processed foods, for the most part, are alluring more than it's much harder to say no to them. But specifically, it's sugar, and I'm not talking about the sugar in fruit or in corn or in beets. I'm talking about the sugar in processed foods. So that's candies, chocolate, pop, like a soda pop, alcohol, because there's basically alcohol is fermented sugar, and then all of the what we call simple carbs, like muffins and bread and pasta and popcorn even. And there was actually a study that looked at, I'm giving you sort of ingredients now, but there was a study that looked at foods that you would go out and typically eat in a day, and they listed that pizza was a very high had a very high addiction index, and ice cream, of course, and cereal, and muffins. So stuff that people eat every day is basically addictive. And my whole campaign is to talk about this because of the obesity crisis, and that this is one of the, it's kind of like the elephant in the room that's not discussed when we talk about obesity.
You're telling me, and that is for sure. So tell us, why should we even care, and why is it so important to acknowledge food addiction?
So there's the obesity crisis and the fact that, there's eating disorders too. People get diagnosed with binge eating disorder or bulimia, we know that just like with so many other mental health conditions, things never really get cured. They just get controlled, and we have a really hard time dealing with eating disorders, but that's a small subsection of the population. It fits into what I'm talking about, but the bigger population that we are now worried about are people who, the whole obesity crisis, of which two-thirds of the American and Canadian population are now either overweight or obese, and it's going to become even worse by 2025. It's been estimated that it'll be like only one quarter of the population will be of normal weight. So and we all know, pretty much everybody who's listening today will probably have an experience of having tried to be on a diet, lost weight, and what ends up happening is you just gain the weight back and gain back more. So basically we're dieting ourselves into obesity. So there's the obesity crisis. Then we say, okay, what are we going to how are we going to deal with this? We talk about diet, which actually makes the problem worse. And so if we don't address food addiction, we're only making everything else worse. We have to address this. It's really, really crucial for success. And the other thing that I would like to mention is, so I talked about obesity. Well, we're also suffering now an addiction crisis, and mainly we see that in the newspapers around the opioid crisis, and, you know, maybe some concerns about marijuana as it's getting more legalized. And of course, we've always been talking about alcoholism. Sugar is, so we're worried about those issues, and sugar, again, it's the elephant in the room. It is like any drug, like nicotine is, like marijuana is for other drugs. It's a gateway for other drugs that are potentially more immediately dangerous. We give sugar to our kids, to our infants, and we're essentially priming the addiction pathway for when they pick up their first stimulant use, like their drug that they want to take to be able to study better when they're a teenager, which then, I'm sorry to say it, it primes the pathway for than potential cocaine use or alcohol use. I'm not trying to scaremonger. I mean, I just think that we have a drug that sets up the stage, and all that person has to do is walk into the room and pick up that other substance, and they're already primed to then become addicts of other sorts. And that's the piece that I'm really worried about as well. Yeah, so that's another piece that's really important.
Certainly some tremendous information on food addiction so far today. We're joined by Dr. Vera Tarman, addiction specialist and medical director of Renascent, an inpatient drug and alcohol treatment center in Canada, as well as the author of Food Junkies, The Truth About Food Addiction, here on eHealth Radio's Addiction Prevention, Health News, and Nutrition Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, Dr. Tarman, what does food recovery or from the obsession to eat mean, and do you have to stop eating sugar forever? That would be my big concern.
You know, a lot of people will say, no, you don't have to. In the as we become more and more aware of how sugar is addictive, because we're learning about the studies that talk about how sugar, triggers rat brains to choose sugar over cocaine or something like that. More and more people are recognizing that it is truly addictive, but there's much less of a willingness to recognize. You have to connect the dots. If you're addicted to something, the best way to deal with that addiction is to stop it. So a cocaine or crack user, there's very little moderation that's possible. You can't tell that person, I just quit on the week and smoke, do your drug on the weekend. A smoker who smokes cigarettes knows too, once they've quit, or if they want to quit, it's very hard to just have a cigarette once in a while. You just have to cold turkey quit. But in the food world, if you look on the internet and people talking about sugar addiction, they'll almost always say, you're going to lose the weight, we'll help you lose the weight, and then you can reintroduce sugar, but you'll be able to eat normally. And once those pathways have switched over, you can't pick it up again. So we would say basically, yes, you do have to quit everything, but I'm not talking about the sugar of fruit or that's like real sugar. I'm talking about excess sugar, refined sugar. That's the stuff that you have to quit, because it will just bring back the addiction, the itch. What I like to say is the itch to use. But in the addiction world, we don't say you have to quit forever, because that's a scary thought. We say you have to quit just for today. And, you know, many todays end up being forever. But if you just live in the day, it's actually quite reasonable to say, today I'm not going to have the ice cream tonight that I planned. I'm not going to have the muffin. I'm going to have a piece of fruit instead. The people who can do that will actually find out it only takes about 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's not scary anymore. It's actually, this is actually not that hard. And then eventually, believe it or not, a person who has quit sugar will actually come to be disgusted by looking at a dessert and going, I can't believe I used to eat that stuff. Just like the person who used to smoke cigarettes will look at somebody who's smoking and go, oh man, I'm so glad I'm not that person anymore.
Certainly is interesting information, no doubt about that, and really appreciate your expertise here on the topic of food addiction. Now, as we conclude today, tell us, why do diets not work, and why can you lose weight only to gain it back only more and more, and how does this relate to the growing obesity crisis?
Yeah, see, like the thing is many doctors and nutritionists and people, you know, food coaches will help people go on diets. And then there's the whole keto craze and the paleo and the plant-based diet phase. Like they're food plans that are meant to address a sort of current issue. Often I want to lose weight, and I want to lose weight in a particular way, but they work, but if you don't keep doing them forever and ever because they worked, you know, if they worked, then they're going to keep working if you keep doing them. But what people often do is see, you know, the person's trying to lose weight through phase one. You know, phase one is when I only eat so many, like hundreds of calories, and I cut out everything that I like. But phase two, I get to eat more, and I get to have a little bit more of what I like. And, you know, phase three, which is some kind of maintenance phase. But when you introduce those phases, you're often introducing trigger foods because you've been missing them, you've been feeling deprived of them. And then once you do that, you're back and running, wanting to eat that food. And what ends up happening is that people, when they're in phase two and three or maintenance phase, are what we call white knuckling it in the addiction world. You just can't wait until you can have that substance, that food, whatever it is, your favorite ice cream or your whatever it is. Maybe it's the drink that you're not drinking right now during Lent or something like that, some religious tradition. The moment you reintroduce that, then the whole addiction pathway sort of churns up again, and there you are. And now you're even wanting more because you've been feeling deprived. If you just stop and let the whole thing quiet down, you don't want it anymore, and you won't gain any more weight because you're not going back to that old process. And the whole obesity crisis is because we keep stopping, starting, and then just gaining more weight each time. And people get discouraged, and then they don't want to bother, and it's depressing, and then they're on meds. That makes them want to eat. It just it sets a momentum that is not in our favor. So diets don't work because we see them as diets, as short-term solutions. They have to be a food plan. Pick a food plan that works for you right now, and then stay with that plan. Don't change it.
Well, Dr. Tarman, we certainly appreciate what you do in the space and for taking the time to be with us here today on eHealth Radio. I'm sure listeners want to know where they can tap into your expertise online. Where can they get more information, as well as more information on your book, Food Junkies, The Truth About Food Addiction?
I work at Renaissance, which is a treatment center in Canada, and unfortunately I can't invite non-Canadians to come up to the program because we can't cover non-Canadians, but you can find out information from my book, Food Junkies, The Truth About Food Addiction, was the first edition. I think it's still available, but Food Junkies, Recovery from Food Addiction is the second edition, and that just came out in February of this year, and it talks about everything that I've said, the science of it, the clinical scenario, what it looks like to be a food addict, and then give some sort of the guidelines about what to eat. And that would be the best way to dip your feet or your toe into the whole area. I have a website called addictionsunplugged.com that you can also look at and get information, and that's where you can get a hold of me as well. I'm more than happy to speak to you know, to some sort of an audience or just individually. I can't do treatment per se, but I can certainly address questions. But get the book. That's really the best start.
Yeah, most certainly, and understanding that Renison is only for Canadians. Again, Dr. Tarman, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Look forward to a future conversation.
Thank you very much.
And you're certainly welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Vera Tarman, addiction specialist and medical director of Renison, an inpatient drug and alcohol treatment center in Canada, as well as the author of Food Junkies, The Truth About Food Addiction. And for further details, visit veratarmanmd.com or addictionsunplugged.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.